Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Please fill our hearts and fill our minds, open us up that we may receive the word of God and that we may be renewed and encouraged. Amen. Since the 4th of July weekend, we've been talking about the Ten Commandments. And we've been looking at them through a little more modern lens. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor Doug said last week was the last one. Well, we're still going to review. We're going to talk a little bit more about the commandments. But we've been looking at them through a contemporary lens called the laws of the heart. The first commandment, for example, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the law of reflection. It's an invitation to reflect on your life and see what things in your world might be coming between you and God, or what you might be putting before God and perhaps not even realizing it. There could be other relationships, other people, achievement, work. You could be putting those things ahead of God, and it could be interfering with your relationship with God. You shall keep no idols and not take the Lord's name in vain, the law of respect. Take a rest day. Observe the Sabbath. That's the law of remembrance. And we need to rest and make time for stillness, to be with God and with those that we love, to renew connections and reestablish connections, and to be still and to listen to what God has to say to us. Honor your father and mother. The commandment that's not just for the little ones, it's for the grown-ups too. To take care of your father and mother, to take care of your grandparents and know that they're loved and that they have value in the community. That's the law of caring. Do not murder, the law of life. Do not commit adultery, the law of commitment. The law of sharing, do not steal. Do not lie or bear false witness. It's the law of speech. To be mindful of the things that we say. And finally, you shall not covet. Do not covet your neighbor's things or their spouse or partner. And to be satisfied, as the law of contentment, be satisfied with what you have. Be content with it and be content with who you are and be content with whose you are. Now, it's a lot to remember. And I know that from talking to people, and I've experienced this myself over the last few weeks, every time you say or do something, you start running it through those filters and thinking, okay, which commandment am I breaking now? You know, you might say something like, hey, that Mark Harmon, he's pretty cute. Oh, wait a second, did I just commit adultery? Well, I'll round my tip down instead of up. Did I just steal from my barista? And, okay, I'm going to work Sunday just this once. It'll be 7 days this week, but I'll work it just once. Wait a second. Where's my Sabbath? So, yeah, it's all pretty heavy, and it makes us mindful of what we're called to do. The Israelites not only had 10 commandments, but they had hundreds of others as well, moral and civil laws that they were called to follow. And then along comes Jesus, and we've talked about this during the laws of the heart. He comes along and he raises the bar a little bit and makes you rethink those 10 commandments. And yet, with the scripture passage that we just heard, he simplifies things. Today's scripture takes place just days after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's the Passion Week. And he's come into Jerusalem on the back of a colt, and the people are laying palm branches down and singing, Hosanna in the highest. And the next day he goes to the temple and chases out the money changers and the people who are buying and selling goods in the temple. And he reminds them what that temple is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a house of prayer for all nations. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they don't like Jesus very much. They're very critical of him. And it's mostly because they're afraid of him. More people are starting to listen to what he has to say. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, Mark says people are spellbound when they hear Jesus speaking. And after the incident with the money changers, they confront him and ask him, on whose authority do you do this? Where do you get off doing this kind of thing? And then they start asking him questions about taxes and about the resurrection. And Jesus starts teaching in parables. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees figure out, yeah, he's talking about us, isn't he? And every time, Jesus gives answers that are accurate and frustrating to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now, in the New Testament, those groups of people are vilified. How badly, it depends on which gospel you read. Mark's a little bit gentler than Matthew. In Mark's gospel, the Sadducees and the Pharisees are viewed as self-righteous, and he uses them as foils for Jesus' teachings. They come into the room pretty much so Jesus can get his point across in Mark's gospel, and he can educate people on what he wants us to know. And every time Jesus gives answers that just exacerbate the problem with the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And part of it is those two groups can't even agree between themselves of what's important. The Sadducees, for example, the Torah is the rule book for them. It's the first five books of the Bible. It includes the Ten Commandments, and it includes Deuteronomy and Leviticus, which contain those other hundreds of civil and moral laws that the Israelites are expected to follow. And then you have the Pharisees. They're considered well-versed in the law. They could be considered lawyers. Their job is to interpret the law. They categorize and prioritize the law, severity of violation. The Sadducees, on the other hand, say, no, they're all laws and they should all be treated equally. The Pharisees are over here trying to categorize everything, all 600 and some odd laws, including the Ten Commandments. So it's no wonder that this scribe that was mentioned in the scripture, and he was probably a Pharisee, he raises his hand and says, "Teacher, I have a question. Out of all of these laws and commandments, which is the most important?" And Jesus gives the kind of answer that only Jesus could give. It's short, it's to the point, and irrefutable, and it sounds familiar. He says, the first is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." That means there is no other God besides our God. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." That is found in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. And it's called, you probably heard this, it's called the Shema. And the first words, "Hear, O Israel," in Hebrew are Shema Yisrael. That's how we get the Shema. Then Jesus says, the second commandment is this, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." That is found in Leviticus. So Jesus answers the question of the scribe, and he satisfies the Sadducees' commitment to the Torah. And at the same time, he simplifies things for everybody else. There are over 600 laws and the Ten Commandments, and he compartmentalizes it into these two big ones. Love God and love your neighbor. All the other commandments are contained in those two. The commandments are not meant to be a burden. It's not meant to be confusing. The Israelites were laboring under all of these laws. The religious leaders are arguing about what's most important. And the Shema says there's only one God, and you shall love him with everything that you have and everything that you are. One God, you shall put nothing before God, not work, not goods, not wealth, not your own priorities or other people. We love God by remembering the Sabbath day and taking time out of our week to just be still and be with God. When we're honest with our words and with our deeds, when we take care of our parents and grandparents in the community, and we let them know that they have value to us, when we value life and appreciate everything that we have and everything that we are showing our love for God. And how we show that love, how we live out and live into those commandments, it looks different for everybody. I mean, some may feel called to serve in a foreign country as a missionary. It has a lot to do with the spiritual gifts that you've been given, where you feel called to serve. You may serve in a foreign country and put your life on the line. You may feel called to serve right here in this community. 500 people have done over the last 3 weeks, and people sometimes feel called to make things that bring joy and bring comfort, like homemade meals and prayer shawls and blankets and hugging crosses, the no-sew blankets, things like that. And maybe you're a prayer warrior, and you will pray for anyone, anytime, anywhere. You will get on your knees when asked to pray for anybody. It's all love, and there are so many ways to express that love, and there are many more examples of it. So what is the greatest commandment? Jesus says there's two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. They go together. If you love God, you will love your neighbor. Loving your neighbor shows love for God. Love God, love your neighbor, love. Amen.